meeting to order. If you'll all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's great to see a nice attendance like this morning. This would be a good time for any of you that haven't turned off your cell phones to do it now. Help keep from interrupting today's meeting. Got a comment to make here. Over the week, this last weekend, a lot of you have read in the paper that longtime Assemblyman Joe Deeney has passed away. And as written, the headline was, "The Last of the Real Statesmen." So Joe was a former Story County Assemblyman. He was the longest serving Assemblyman in Nevada history. That included 8 sessions as the Speaker. As Congressman Amade posted on his Facebook site that when you look up Mr. Speaker in the Nevada Dictionary, Joe Deeney's picture is there. Joe was responsible for establishing the Comstock Historic District and funneling over $8 million in funding for the preservation of historic structures, including this courthouse, the Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's, and the Gold Hill Depot. Joe and his wife, they would visit Virginia City in the evenings, usually around the legislature time, and they'd have dinner and drinks usually at the Delta Saloon. They'd go over and visit Joan and Angelo Petrini, the proprietors over there. And occasionally, when I'd make my way through Yerington, either for the back alley fights, which is boxing, not fighting, or for maybe one of their country concerts they put on, I would stop by and visit Deeney's Lucky Club. As you all know, I have a fondness for small-town saloons. Joe's funeral is today in Yerington in an hour at 11 p.m. At the high school gymnasium, I believe so. Retired Story County Auditor Maggie Lothar, she will represent Story County and attend that funeral today. So, you'd all join me in a moment of silence for Joe. Okay, thank you. On today's agenda, under item 3, we have discussion and possible action for the approval of the agenda for April the 15th, 2014, today. Is there any discussion on today's agenda? Mr. Phillips? Any of those who would be testifying today, if you'd please identify yourself at the podium, it makes it easier for the recording device to pick it up so that it gets transcribed later.
Good morning. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident for the record. Tuesday, April the 15th, 2014. This is discussion before the approval of today's agenda. I just can't help myself. If we turn to the consent agenda, there's an item that needs to be clarified. We go to item number 10, possible action, approval of refund to Judith Chisholm. Could you please have a conversation about the dollar amount and the assessor parcel number before you approve this as a routine item? Like I say, Mr. Chairman, I can't help myself. In agendas past, the dollar amount and the assessor parcel number has always been included in a refund. Thank you.
Any other discussion on today's agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. So you want to bring up item 10 now on this?
Certainly. I would understand, Mr. Phillips, that this may appear to be a little different. In fact, it is the normal procedure. We might have missed a few things on the agenda listing. I think Assessor Janice said in his letter to Clerk Treasurer Vanessa Stevens dated March 27, 2014, clearly explains the situation. It was a tax year overlap in the process that started last fall, but the Nevada Department of Taxation was slow in getting us approval that we have just now received. The total amount of the request for the refund is $1,713.15. That's the matter of question.
So, and all that was in the packet. So,
yep.
Okay, we're going to move on now.
You need to vote to approve that. Since it was removed from the consent agenda.
Okay. All those in favor, let me tell you what. If I can get a motion to approve item 10 on today's agenda.
So moved.
So seconded.
Moved and seconded to approve item 10 on today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all. Okay. Okay, item 12. Discussion? You want to move to 14? That's right.
14 to 15.
Pardon me. We're going to move up a little bit on this. We're going to move up to item 14. This is discussion, possible action. The recommendation to award the contract to the successful bidder for the reconstruction of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project Phase 1. Is Sherry going to run with this?
Why don't you guys keep up?
My name is Greg Lyman. I'm with Far West Engineering. We opened bids last week. The low bidder was Q&D Construction. I think, do you guys want a background on what the project entails, or do you remember from the last presentation? It includes our sewer, the new sewer treatment plant to replace the existing sewer treatment plant with some capacity upgrades to get prepared to replace lines through town that are leaking. So we need to fix the plant first so we can send more flows down to it. So we prepared a bid package. It took us some time. We waited almost all of last year to get the property from BLM. We now have the property. And so then USDA allowed us to bid now that we had property, so we bid. It was a good bidding climate. There wasn't a lot of other projects out there, so we got a lot of attention, which is what we like. We opened the bids. The bids were within budget, so that made us happy. And the apparent low bidder, Q&D Construction, has experience in this type of work and a good working history. So we think it went really well. So that's my report on how it went. Do you want to have some more detail, Mike?
Well, I'll just make a couple of comments. Specifically, I'd like to thank the Far West Engineering for all the work that they've put forth with the project. As we all know, it's been a tremendous amount of work over the past 6 years or so, I would say. A lot of stumbling blocks, but we're finally there. I would make mention, Sherry's here today. She's been tracking all this grant stuff. Does a fantastic job working with Lucas and Greg here. So it minimizes the amount of work that I have to worry about on the grant and the loan stuff. So thank you for that. Might mention that Q&D has been a longstanding Nevada business firm contractor for many years, and I think we're fortunate that they were the low bidder due to the fact that we're going to have a local person contact, if you will. The project manager actually lives right here in the community, lives in Virginia City, Mr. Ed Barnett. So it'll be a pleasure working with Ed. Ed is very familiar with the construction projects. Been an employee of Q&D for many years, so looking forward to having somebody local that we can deal with. And also make mention that the Lynch family in the Highlands, they have some folks that work for Q&D. In fact, I forget the young gentleman's name that attended the bid opening last week, but so but they live in the Highlands, by the way, so nice to have the contacts locally instead of some firm that we don't know too much about or who to deal with. So just to make a comment there, and then if the board has any questions of me, I'm here to answer. It'll take up a lot of time.
Did you have anything to add to this, Sherry?
Yeah.
Okay. For those who might not be aware, this is a brand new facility to replace our existing aging and failing sewer treatment plant. So we've been through the process of getting the grants and the loans from the USDA. So
what was the amount of the low bid?
For the record, Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering. The low base bid was $4,182,500.
What was the high bid?
The high bid was $5,454,123. Your next low bid was at $4.59 million.
You know, congratulations to Q&D. They did a real service.
Even with the low bid, there were some other factors that were in there which could raise this price up a little bit.
Correct. We broke the project into a base bid and then six bid alternates. With the funding from USDA, if we do not come in under the loan and grant amount, sometimes we'll have to go rebid the project. So it's better to break out bid alternates and award later. Discussions with Mike, we're proposing to award bid alternate two, which would be an 8-inch water line down to the site, which would provide fire code minimum fire flows down there. It's currently a 2-inch line. And then bid alternate six, which would be its various sidewalk around throughout the site that will help with maintenance and operations, you know, over time. And so that total, if you added the base bid plus bid alternate one or bid alternate two and bid alternate six, is $4,346,950.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes,
I've none.
Okay. Any discussion? Yes. Okay, at this time we'll be looking for a motion to approve this on the condition that it's also approved by USDA Rural Development, because they're ultimately going to have to, we're going to approve it on their condition.
So my motion then is to secure a contract with Q&D Construction and pending approval by USDA and the Rural Grant Program.
And that's in the amount of $4,346,950?
That is correct. Let's talk about the contingency, too.
You want to talk about the 11?
Okay, sure. The total that USDA committed to the project was a loan of $3,002,000 plus a grant funding of $2,312,794. So you're just over $5.3 million that USDA has committed to Story County and phase one of this sewer improvement project. Any remaining funds that we do not use with this phase one, we will likely be able to roll those into future phases. Currently, we have five phases of this project planned, which Greg alluded to, starting with the wastewater treatment plant and then moving into the collection system throughout Virginia City and then even into Gold Hill. So right now, we'll be starting with an 11% contingency, or $494,694, and one of the benefits of getting Q&D Construction is that they're a very honest, admirable contractor who typically sticks to the numbers that they bid at, and change orders have been minimal in our experience with them, so I think it's likely that that money can roll over into the collection system portions of the project.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Got a second.
Been moved and second to approve awarding the bid to Q&D Construction. All those on condition that approved by USDA Rural Development. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Very great.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Start digging. Okay. Also, since everyone noticed that we have a full house this morning and we have a full agenda, that I've been asked to move item 15 up next. And this is the discussion and possible action to cease all funding to Jeep Posse as requested by Kay Dean. So at this time, I would like to ask Kay Dean to come up to the microphone and present her case. Please identify yourself at the podium. And this portion of the meeting, I'd ask that anybody testifying, please direct all of your comments and questions to this board, not to any other individual members that might be in this meeting room today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. First, I want to thank the commissioners for including this on the agenda. I will read and then submit my comments to be included for the public record. As citizens, we expect organizational leadership and sound and transparent financial management from our commissioners. The issues surrounding the Jeep Posse have been brought to your attention several times. If the best you can do is to have spent money under false representations, and when it came to your attention, you continued spending the money, this is not good financial management or leadership. While it may be legal to fund this group, I believe to continue funding an organization such as the Jeep Posse is inappropriate and fiscally irresponsible. The Jeep Posse group represents about 1% of the population and yet is budgeted to receive $10,000. If the county can afford this, then they should also be able to afford to give $10,000 to any and all groups of 30 people or so, nonprofit status not required. This sets a terrible precedent, in my opinion. There are so many worthwhile charitable groups in this county who have struggled to make ends meet over the past few years. Discretionary spending is so limited in these times of fiscal restraint. And to be fiscally responsible is to spend funds wisely and where they can have the most benefit for the most in need, not a chosen few. The lack of disclosure and conflicts of interest are also quite troubling. Two county officials who signed lease agreements with the cell phone companies are also members of the Jeep Posse, as is the comptroller. The Jeep Posse was given half of the revenue with no disclosures regarding these relationships at any time. This not only violates state and county ethics policies, it jeopardizes the state and federal grants that this county relies on, since each grant requires that the county uphold the federal statutes for civil rights and lack of conflict of interest in all of its dealings, not just pursuant to that contract. I have two examples of this language on a grant attained and signed by the county. Originally, I had intended to distribute documents as I went through, but I think in time constraints and less confusion, I'll just give it all to you at the end. The biggest reason I became involved in what I perceived to be an abuse of spending has nothing to do personally with the Jeep Posse. I have volunteered at the Senior Center, off and on, for about a dozen years or so, and the center is experiencing difficult financial times. It's heartbreaking for me to know the director holds checks back, waiting until there are adequate funds. The stress of wondering if there will be enough to cover payroll, food, and utility bills, while still providing a safe and a safe place and a healthy meal to the elderly segment of our population goes unnoticed by many in this community. But because I volunteer in the office, I'm well aware of it. And this is my primary motivation. Once again, to be fiscally responsible is to spend funds wisely and where they can have the most benefit for those most in need. Regardless of whether the county can legally fund any group it desires in the community support section of the budget, equal parameters and requirements should be upheld by all recipients to receive funds. The Jeep Posse did not submit any summary of their activities and service contributions in the tentative budget like all the other community service groups. The Community Chest is an example of a true community service organization that is transparent in its activities and provided a full report on past and future services as part of the county's tentative budget. The Chief Posse submitted nothing and still got funded. This is not equal treatment, and this bias shown by the commissioners is at the very least disturbing. While the commissioners still holding, with the commissioners still holding the position that the payments to the Chief Posse is a revenue share, why do they also show this as county support to a community service group? Since December 2012, the Chief Posse has not been involved with the Sheriff's Office for any rescue operations, or I mean activities. So what specific charitable and civic purposes has the Jeep Posse been involved in to justify this level of funding each year? I would now like to summarize some facts in addition to those you've already been made aware of that I've discovered during my research into the statements made to me about the Jeep Posse by the Commission. I'd also like to note that I received a copy of a lease from the clerk's office last week that was evidently found in a box. It is a lease for the Ice House between Story County and the Jeep Posse, and is purported to be from 1974, although the only date on the document is the engineer's parcel description, and that was dated 8/22/1974. I noted there's no automatic renewal in this lease, which runs from 1974 for 5 years. Thus, it ended in 1979. It could have been extended, according to the document, based on such reasonable terms as may have been agreed upon. But there's evidently no record of any future leases or renewals. Or maybe they're in boxes still, awaiting to be found. But the lease was very specific in what the Jeep Posse was actually leasing, the said structure. The paragraph before this noted the parcel containing the structure, and an engineer's report described the land parcel. The lease specifically pertains to the structure on the parcel, as it clearly states. The cell tower was not erected on this structure. It was erected on other property owned by the county. The Jeep Posse is not a party to the contract with the cell phone companies. There's no legal requirement to share the cell phone revenue with the Jeep Posse. The county has represented this explanation as a justification as to why the funds were given to this group each year since 2006, totaling over $60,000. This has not been a true or accurate description and was a misrepresentation of the situation to the residents of this county. And I believe this is something that the commissioners should set the record straight on and acknowledge it was not revenue sharing based on a contract, but an optional choice made by the commissioners. I'm not a lawyer or a legal expert. Virginia City News noted in July 2013 that the Jeep Posse had only then applied for a 501c3 status, and yet they've been operating for years as if they were already approved. As a citizen and fiscally concerned resident, I think the IRS should have all pertinent information in order to fully evaluate this application. It appears the Jeep Posse's own bylaws, in addition to state and federal regulations, were violated in giving scholarship to family of Jeep Posse members and non-Story County students. It's considered self-dealing and personal gain to do so. The record-keeping, based on the auditor's report, does not comply with the requirement for accurate record-keeping for nonprofits. And perhaps taxes will also be due on these funds that the Jeep Posse has previously received. It's my understanding that since 2007, even nonprofits have been required to file returns. We can disagree about this, but I think eventually the IRS will become involved, and perhaps other agencies also. The IRS states that a nonprofit's governing body bears the ultimate responsibility for setting ethical standards and ensuring they permeate the organization, and their decision will be the one that all must comply with. To spend limited resources on a group like the Jeep Posse is fiscally irresponsible, in my opinion. In the past, perhaps you were unaware of the facts, but it's difficult to understand why you would choose to continue to provide funding to a group that will most likely come under investigation and provides negligible benefit to the community compared to other groups. But perhaps investigative and subpoena powers are what is needed to ascertain the facts and motives behind this. An investigation that begins with a Jeep Posse may lead to the discovery of other violations within the county. And in closing, I would like to add that I also find it personally disturbing that I'm hearing so many rumors regarding my safety. No resident of this county should fear for their physical well-being because they are exercising their First Amendment rights and free speech. Thank you. I have 6 sets of documents, I believe, for the 3 commissioners, the DA, the county manager, and the comptroller.
The clerk.
Yeah.
and they're all separate, and they're all in the COPA.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Dean.
Can I sit down?
Yes, go ahead. At this time, in response from the G Posse, Jim Miller would like to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank the commission for allowing the G Posse and allowing me to speak regarding the issues that we just heard. I'm Jim Miller, and I also am going to read into the record my comments. And I'll try to look up every once in a while, but I have a lot of points I want to make. But I'm the former sheriff of Story County and a proud member of the Story County G Posse. I grew up here. The people of this community matter to me, and they matter to the organization, the Story County G Posse. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the G Posse and answer some of the claims that have been made. Story County G Posse is composed of respected, knowledgeable community leaders. Many of our members are trained in emergency response and crisis management. We have people with backgrounds as EMTs, first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, air search and rescue, former military, pilots, as well as administrators, supervisors, accountants, contractors, carpenters, and even elected officials. A significant number of our members know this county inside and out, including old mines and abandoned shafts throughout our county. I personally set up and operated the Elko County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue. Each posse member brings with them their own set of expertise and skills which have been offered to this community for over five decades, over 50 years. These are people who truly believe in the following statement, which is in our bylaws, to help, aid, and assist the residents and property owners of Story County, residents of neighboring counties, and any and all persons found to be in need of assistance. There are many different ways in which this private volunteer organization has served this community, which I will outline in more detail in just a moment. But I wish to clarify that these are not untrained individuals, nor is the G Posse a purposeless organization, as the current Sheriff Antonoro stated in an email. It is also not true that the G Posse might run you off the road, as a concerned citizen was told, or that they are corrupt and in collusion with the county to take county funds. You have received a great deal of totally false information that I'd like to correct. This certainly appears to be a vendetta to discredit both the G Posse and the county. A little history. The G Posse was organized in 1962 by Jack Cross, Jim Turney, Clark Jordan, Bart Hoskins, Fred Garrett, and Earl Bowers. Only one of these five founding members is still with us. Fred Garrett, longtime Virginia City businessman and entrepreneur, and a former county commissioner. The 17-member group used their own four-wheel drive vehicles and purchased their own citizen band radios. And they purchased a four-wheel drive ambulance and even had an access to a plane that was labeled the Virginia City Air Force. Many of the original members, also of the Virginia City Volunteer Fire Department, were in law enforcement. In the early years, the posse was headquartered in the fire department and was actively involved in search and rescue, including mine rescues and missing persons. In the 70s, the organization began looking for a larger place to house equipment and to have a meeting and training area. There were concerns at the time that the county might have to demolish the ice house because it was in very poor condition and could possibly be in danger to the community. The G Posse discussed this with the county commissioners and said they would restore the building if they could just lease it from the county. The original agreement was that the posse would request limited funds from the county one time yearly, and that those funds would be used to purchase materials for the rehab. The lease included the building and the surrounding land. The lease fee agreed upon was $1 per year for 99 years. We have a copy of the original lease, and this is a document, and there is documentation for the payment in full of $99 for 99 years from the county clerk, Kathy Hilton. This payment is also confirmed in the minutes of the commissioners' meeting on that same date. I talked to Kathy Hilton directly, and she remembers it clearly. When the Jeep posse began to work on the ice house, they discovered that the building was in pretty bad shape. In that first year alone, the posse installed a new concrete floor, added bracing to the building, installed windows, and contributed more than 1,600 hours themselves, and $1,200 in material. At that time, the county contributed $600, with the rest of the material and all labor donated by the posse members. Although the county no longer pays directly for any of the building maintenance and restoration, work on the building continues. The Jeep posse members, especially those with construction background, do all the restoration work on the building. Members are never paid a salary, but are reimbursed by the organization for out-of-pocket expenses, as noted in the agreed-upon procedure report done by the accounting firm in Reno that I will talk about in just a minute. The walk-in refrigerator was replaced in 2011. Our recent improvements include replacing a block retaining wall, adding a new roof, and expanding the parking area. This lease agreement is definitely an example of another way in which the posse contributes to our community by maintaining this historical building. Since we're looking at the historical aspects of the relationship between the county and the Jeep posse, let's address what led up to the lease for a cell tower. In 2005, the Jeep posse was approached by the county regarding the subleasing of part of our master lease of the ice house and property for the placement of a cell phone tower. It was to be placed on the hill near the ice house and on our lease property. We voted to approve and entered into a verbal agreement with Story County for the subleasing part of our property for cell tower and equipment. We were to receive the full revenue from the sublease, but we are not equipped to process the documents, handle the accounting involved, and the payments and the permits, so the county agreed to manage all of that paperwork. We agreed to pay the county half of all the revenues received from the cell companies for their service. Story County would receive the checks from the cell phone company, process the payments, keep their share for services rendered, which is half, and give us a check quarterly for our half. 2008, we were approached again about adding an additional equipment room for another cell company, and we voted to keep the same arrangement for the addition. The actual terms that we agreed to do not have the county paying us for anything. Instead, we agreed to pay half of the revenue from the cell tower to the county to process the paperwork and handle the lease agreement. Again, because of mutually beneficial agreement, the Jeep posse is able to have additional funds to continue with their service to the community. The county continues to have a caretaker for an historical building, which is available for worthwhile community events. And the cell phone coverage, broadband, is provided for the area. I'd like to discuss in more detail some of the posse's contributions to the community. Although originally the posse served almost entirely as a search and rescue entity, our bylaws state that our purpose is to aid and assist. As an organization, we have broadened our focus over the years from search and rescue to many different forms of community service, especially those that assist the youth of our community. Our charitable efforts and contributions are not big publicity generators, but let me tell you, there are a few of the things that we've done. We've given annual scholarships, offered donations to community events, help with crowd control, clean parks, found lost tourists or stranded hunters, including all-night searches. Worked annually for the VC Grand Prix, worked to restore and maintain the ice house, provided an area for 4-H programs, trained and involved in mine rescue and recovery, fenced off mine shafts, installed 200 yards of fence line above the Houston pit in Gold Hill. And I'd be surprised how many people here actually know where that's at. Facilitated community use of the property for worthwhile events. Worked with annual 100-mile horse endurance ride. Donated $5,000 worth of hams and turkeys in the past 7 years and helped community chest with the distribution. $5,000 worth of hams and turkeys. Went door to door in the highlands during wildfires to notify people of a possible evacuation and to see if any additional help would be needed if they actually had to evacuate. Whatever the type of service, we don't immediately stop for a photo op or to submit an article to the paper. We just get the job done. We're more concerned with the outcome than we are with the credit. You know, I don't think that sounds like a purpose organization. Annually, as I mentioned, we've also given scholarships to students. Students must have a 3.0 grade point average and must have portrayed himself or herself as a person of character and as a positive contributing member to their school and or community. These scholarships have never been limited to relatives of posse members. Any private organization has the option of having any restrictions that they choose, but we recently rewrote the selection criteria to clarify that we do not restrict those awards in any way, but that the awards are given to the most qualified individuals. In addition to the annual Virginia City High School scholarships, we have also given donations to other individuals and events. Again, always with the focus on the youth. Since the mid-90s, we have donated over $40,000 for scholarships. $40,000 since the mid-90s. Some have expressed concern about ties between the G Posse and the county. Story County is a small community. People who care about this community and who step up when needed to serve and to offer assistance will do that in all aspects of their life. Whether it's meeting the needs of the county through the day job as a county employee, an EMT, firefighter, or even running for elected positions, or whether it's being part of a service organization like the Story County G Posse. Yes, there are ties. There will always be when people care. I'd like to clarify a little more of the financial background of the G Posse. There have been unfounded accusations of misconduct or improprieties. Let's start with the difference between nonprofit organizations versus 501c3s, bearing in mind that I am not an accountant. We have, however, contacted Secretary of State's office, the IRS, and consulted with a tax specialist. A domestic nonprofit corporation designation is granted at the state level through the Nevada Secretary of State. Story County G Posse applied for and received their status on April 24, 1970, when it submitted articles of incorporation to the Nevada Secretary of State. We file a list of G Posse members annually, as can be seen on the Secretary of State website. A 501c3 designation, however, is a tax-exempt status given by the IRS. And this designation, if this designation is approved by the IRS, then a nonprofit corporation may also apply to the Nevada Department of Taxation for state tax-exempt status. If approved at the state level, the organization can then be considered tax-exempt by both the IRS and the state of Nevada. There is, however, no requirement for any organization to apply for tax-exempt status from either the IRS or the Nevada Department of Taxation. Story County G Posse has never applied for an IRS 501c3 tax exemption or a Nevada tax exemption status. We do not claim that donations to our organization can be written off as deductions on anyone's taxes. We are not now, nor have we ever, been delinquent in paying income taxes, which have been confirmed by the IRS. We do not file or pay income taxes because the organization does not have any filing requirements with the federal government. The posse does, however, pay sales tax on all purchases that are made. Story County Jeep Posse meets all state requirements and is a domestic nonprofit corporation registered annually with the state of Nevada. Let's talk about the agreed upon procedures report, which was done by Muckle Anderson CPAs in Reno. This was not an audit, nor did we release the document to the public. One of the people who expressed concerns about this report, Nicole Bard, said she was given the report and bylaws by Mr. Antonoro. However, we are willing to address her concerns and those of Kay Dean and others, if at all possible. Even when I was still sheriff of Story County and working closely with the G Posse, I discussed the financial record keepings of the organization. Organizations need to have strong financial policies and procedures in place. When we, as an organization, reviewed the document from Muckle Anderson, which we paid for, it was clear that they had no way of knowing that our current financial process was of, or what safeguards we already had in place. For example, at each monthly posse meeting, the expenditures with receipts from the month have always been reviewed and then approved by the full membership of the organization. All money received at an annual Jeep Posse barbecue is counted at least by two members, locked up by a member until the next banking day, deposited by the treasurer, and then the amount of the deposit confirmed as correct. We have since rewritten the bylaws to clearly outline our financial oversight, including those two previously examples, and to improve our procedures in a new section entitled Financial Transactions and Record Keeping. Whenever we find there's a better way to do something, we will take the necessary steps to make those improvements. Let's look at the specific comments in Muckle Anderson report for a second. Number one, missing documentation. As I just mentioned, the receipts did exist and were approved at each meeting. We have addressed improving our financial procedures in our revised bylaws. Expenditures on alcohol. Yes, we bought alcohol. We host an annual barbecue and serve a steak dinner with beverages, including alcoholic drinks. And yes, before you ask, we do have a liquor license, which is on file at the sheriff's office. At the sheriff's office. I'll come back to the subject of alcohol in just a minute. Number three, purchase of a walk-in refrigerator. As discussed before, as the caretaker of the building and because of the multi-use purpose of the facility, the refrigerator is an appropriate expenditure. Number four, money earned at the annual barbecue. As mentioned before, once again, we have careful controls in place regarding the cash. Did we make a lot of money on the barbecue? No. As a fundraiser, perhaps less than successful. But as an annual community event, definitely a value. It was priceless. Always has. No exceptions, which is number five, noted by Muckle Anderson between the spreadsheet and the bank deposits. Let me read that again. No exceptions noted by Muckle Anderson between the spreadsheet and the bank deposits. As I said, any cash collected already had a triple count process in place and was then reviewed and approved by full membership. The bylaws now reflect this. Six, no exceptions were noted by Muckle Anderson between the bank statements and the spreadsheet. I'd like to address specific complaints by a few community members. In spite of what you were told, no one in the posse is paid a salary. No one has been paid a bribe or is on the take. We do not pay off the county or vice versa. Our bylaws do not discriminate or forbid membership on any basis. Members are reimbursed for expenses. A member with a background in construction may be hired for a specific job, or a member may be reimbursed for materials, but not one is a paid employee. Our members are contributing many, many hours maintaining and refurbishing that building. There was a complaint expressed about a specific check for $1,385. That was written to a county employee. This was reimbursement for fees for the golf tournament held in conjunction with the annual barbecue. All original receipts are approved at the time of purchase or reimbursement. I said I come back to the subject of alcohol. The Jeep Posse has been called a drinking organization. We do serve alcohol at our annual barbecue and at our meeting, but we are not operating a bar. We as an organization are very cognizant about the risks and consequences that can be associated with alcohol. It's always been spelled out in our bylaws that a member may not answer any emergency call after consuming or consumed alcohol. This bylaw is based on an appropriate law enforcement protocol regarding alcohol consumption. Even Mr. Antonaro can tell us about those risks and consequences. He recently admitted to me the specifics of an alcohol-related incident that involved him personally when he was a law enforcement officer in Utah. Now, let's move to the termination of the relationship between the Story County Sheriff's Office and the Jeep Posse. Remembering, there has been a working relationship between the two organizations for over 50 years. Once again, incorrect information has been given to the public that I would like to clarify. 2012, during a discussion of financial matters at a Jeep Posse meeting, Mr. Antonaro offered to set up an account for us, the Posse, through the Sheriff's Office. Members were concerned that this move to take over the assets would then lead to all Posse funds being diverted to the Sheriff's Office budget. The Posse decided at the meeting that it was better for us to remain an independent organization working with, not for, the Sheriff's Office. In late 2012, Antonaro spelled out both at meetings and then via email exactly what he required for the professional level search and rescue that he wished to develop. He listed specific background requirements with sanctions against members who didn't complete training exercises in a timeline, in his timeline. As I said before, most of our members meet all these requirements already. He then followed up on the original discussion in emails with specific actions he would take if the Posse didn't meet his requirements. That is, he would sever the relationship between the Sheriff's Office and the Posse. And I quote, "The Posse will serve no purpose to the county and will have no official functionality. Any IDs or other county property is to be returned to my office. What becomes of the Posse, the ice house, and the revenues from the towers then becomes an issue between the county commissioners and a purposeless Posse," end quote. In addition to intense discussions at Posse meetings, I personally met with Mr. Antonaro several times to try to find a working compromise that would both meet his demands and be a workable option for the Posse. His answer was, essentially, "I won't change my mind. This is their only choice." December 2012, the Posse voted unanimously to continue with our broader purpose as a volunteer organization for this community and not to become the current sheriff's new search and rescue team. Antonaro officially ended the relationship between the Sheriff's Office and the Jeep Posse by letter dated December 18, 2012. Let me repeat the Jeep Posse's decision. The Story County Jeep Posse chose to keep our focus as a volunteer organization for the entire county. This should have been the end of it, but unfortunately, this hasn't been the case. This has been followed by what certainly appears to be a personal vendetta to discredit both the Jeep Posse and the county. We have been attacked in the press and in meetings. Private information has been released to the public. Actions taken by the Posse have been distorted. And rather obviously, false information is being fed to people who are concerned about the things that they are told. Poor communications, followed by threats and intimidations, and then retaliation. There certainly seems to be a pattern here. We as an organization have always tried to do the right thing. If we find we are doing something incorrectly, or that there's a better way to do it, we'll make those changes. As you have heard, for over half a century, we have provided valuable service to this community. Let's continue to work together. We have both written and oral substantiation of the 99-year lease. We have a copy of the receipt for payment from the clerk treasurer, Kathy Hilton, confirmation in the commissioner's meeting, and a copy of the original lease. I'd like to make the following recommendation to the commissioner. I would suggest, based on this documentation, that the commissioners direct the current district attorney to draw up a new lease which spells out this acknowledged agreement between the county and the posse, including the more recent agreement regarding cell phone towers, equipment buildings, and cell companies involved, to all be included in the 99-year lease. Look around. Look around. How many people here are either in the G Posse, support the G Posse and the work that they do, or have been positively impacted by this organization? By standing or raising your hand, please. How many people? There you have it. Thank you. I hope I have been able to answer each of the concerns that have been expressed. There will always be some people who are never satisfied with the answers they hear. But this needs to stop. The agenda item requested that all funding cease to the posse. As I explained before, the county is not funding us, but is working with the posse, with us, through this 99-year lease and sublease. This request to cease funding is the exact opposite of the direction we need to be moving. We need to continue to work together with the county, and I hope that commissioners will put this issue to rest. Story County Jeep Posse is a private, nonprofit, volunteer organization committed to serving this community. We will continue to work for the people of Story County. The Jeep Posse is a vital part of this community. Many, many people have benefited from the work we have done. For over 50 years, we have helped our neighbors. I believe in this organization and what it does for the youth and what it does to take care of the people in this county. I believe in what we do and why we make the effort to continue to do so, to serve and protect. That's an important phrase that has always been a part of my life. And that's what's happening here. Story County Jeep Posse will continue to serve and protect this community. These are good people. These attacks need to end. It's nonsense. Let's move forward. Thank you.
Is there any questions for Jim?
I have a question for Jim.
Go ahead, Commissioner Shavagan.
I have no questions for Jim. I think you did an excellent presentation and brought out the facts as I understand them.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Okay, we'll go ahead and take further testimony. I'd like it now to limit it to 3 minutes. Okay, Nicole, you're up first. Come on up, Mr. District Attorney, if you'll watch the clock today.
Just making sure it works.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. One of the things that I brought up in April when I objected to funding the Jeep Posse was the fact that I was told that no women could join. Subsequent to that comment, I was told by a Jeep Posse member when I asked, why don't you allow women to join your organization? And he told me, you know, if we let women in, it opens up that diversity thing. Okay? A step back in time is something that this town proudly represents because of the history. A step back in time does not represent going back to the time when women did not have the vote, where women were not equal. I am not here to challenge the right to exist of the Jeep Posse. What I am here to say is the following. As a county government organization, you are responsible to deal with, interact with, support those organizations that abide by both federal and state standards relating to civil rights. If the Jeep Posse is a private organization, they can do whatever they want. They can limit their membership. But a nonprofit, regardless of, nonprofit is a nonprofit, cannot be exclusive in their membership. So if the county aligns itself with an organization that discriminates for any reason, you, from a moral standpoint, are essentially sanctioning that discrimination. It's not right. It violates those things that women have been fighting for since we got the vote. We have the vote. And that type of thinking, that type of behavior, takes us a step back in time in the wrong way. So to sit here and say, as Jim said, that nothing in the bylaws says that they can discriminate, I'm here to tell you, by action, they do. There are no women. I was told, well, we do have a woman. Auxiliary. I did not fight in the 70s, the 80s, and even into the 90s for equal treatment of women to be part of a county whose government obviously supports that kind of discrimination to the extent that we've got county management affiliating themselves with an organization that discriminates. People affiliate with organizations whose values they share. Shame on you.
Thank you. Who would like to speak next? Ms. Flanagan?
Good morning, commissioners. And I won't take my full 3 minutes. I'm going to read some short comments. For the record, I'm Erlene Flanagan, Story County resident and property owner for nearly 30 years. And I don't want to speak politically about the Jeep Posse. Rather, I would like to simply tell of a personal experience I had with the organization about 4 years ago. My husband, John Flanagan, was a Story County assessor for 16 years and a Story County commissioner at the time of his sudden death in July of 2010. I requested that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the Fourth Ward School, which was near and dear to his heart, as both of his parents had attended school there. He had worked and volunteered there for years. A number of days after the funeral, a Jeep Posse person came to the Fourth Ward School desk, dropped off a check for $500, the largest individual donation that was made in his honor. There was no press release, no photo op, no meeting with the director, just a gesture to honor a good man from the Comstock. The donation in John's name were used to purchase a penny presser. The purchase of that machine will help support the operation of the nonprofit Fourth Ward School into the future. It also provides an inexpensive memento to the visitors of the school. In closing, I want to thank the Jeep Posse for their donation to the Fourth Ward School, and also note that John was never a member of the Posse. And I would like to give each of you a penny from that machine as a tangible reminder of the generosity of the Jeep Posse in memory of a man who was not one of their own.
Thank you, Ms. Flanagan. Who else? Who's next?
Janet,
yeah. Thank you. Well, Miss, are you going to rebut or? Can we make it quick because I gave you the floor.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands again. Perhaps I didn't catch it. I am hearing impaired, but I thought Mr. Miller indicated that the original contract for the cell phone towers was a
was evolved because the Jeep Posse approached the Story County, and they had a verbal agreement with each other, and then the, is that correct? Did I understand that correctly? Was that what Mr. Miller was saying, that there was a verbal contract between Story County and...
They approached us.
Pardon me?
They approached us.
Well, it...
And had a verbal contract.
It had a verbal contract. And I was not aware, and Mr. Maddox, perhaps you're the legal expert here, can the Story County be bound by a verbal contract for decades future with no documentation made at that point in time when the verbal contract was done? Can that be brought decades up later and then said, oh, we had a verbal contract a couple decades ago? And that was my question, and I guess that's what I'll be seeing you in your office about later on after this. Thank you.
Yes, I think the county can be bound by a verbal contract. And as you all might be aware, they do things differently in Story County than just about any place else in America. But yes, I think we could be bound by a verbal contract. My understanding is that there's a sharing of the revenue, and if we weren't sharing the revenue, then it would all go to the leaseholder, and if they've got a lease, then they're sharing the revenue with us. We're not sharing it with them, if I understand what Mr. Miller just said.
We're not going to be able to do it from out there because we can't record it. So, Ms. Cohen, you had your hand up. You want to come up and speak? Ms. Cohen, you had your hand up. Did you want to come up and speak?
Can I?
Okay, but wrap it up because we're not going to go ahead and we'll go back and forth.
Kate Dean, Virginia City Highlands. It's just that if that's not I have actually copies of the lease, and I don't know if Mr. Miller provided you with any, but the copies that I obtained do not lease the property to the Chief Posse. They lease the Ice House building on the property. They very specifically limit it in the lease to that structure, and I did provide documents to all of you.
Ms. Cohen? I got Judy and then you, okay? And I mean Janet and then you. Not yet.
Judy Cohen, simple business owner, Virginia City resident. I really don't know much about this except what I heard this morning, but what I do know is that it's, since I came here, starting with Mr. Winton, former Story County Sheriff, it all sounded great up here. And I know a lot of the members are wonderful people. I get along with them. But maybe somewhere along the way, the focus is being lost. It's about the money. Is it being used? What happened in the past is not the same thing as the present. And I think that, I do not think that for what I heard, because I didn't know any of this, it's Sheriff Antinoro, former Story County Sheriff Winton, former Sheriff Miller. I heard it from former Story County Sheriff Winton. This is the Jeep Posse. That was my first year. I went to the picnic. And when we talk about donations, and this is what bothers me as a business owner, I was told the scholarships, everything that former county, Story County Sheriff said, is that yes, it's tax deductible. I have little forms. I have, for 11 years, donated very, very nice things to the Story County, or to the Jeep Posse, before it was the Story County. A $500 leather jacket. I gave good gifts. Ask former Sheriff Mr. Miller if I did not give from my store. And I think I'm the only small business owner here. But I participated. But when it comes right down to it, it's about the money. It's not about the people, because everybody in here, at least the people that I know,
Ms. Cohen, would you please speak to the commissioners and not to the audience? If you want a conversation with them, go out.
Yes, okay. I believe that everybody that has participated has done it in the best interest. They just lost sight of what they were doing and let somebody else do it. It goes back to the money. Is it being utilized in the best manner possible? Based on what? former sheriff, Mr. Miller, said, and what Dean said, and what they present as evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vaughn. Okay, no? Ms. House?
I'll flip a coin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Janet House from Marktrin. I started to get interest in these committees when I was reviewing the budget, and I saw all the committee, and I started to find out what is the purpose of these committees. And suddenly, when I asked for information, last year, I requested from Jeep Policy, I wrote to them officially to request a financial report. Apparently, they didn't respond to me. Last month, I sent again, and I still have not get any response from them. However, I do have contacted IRS. I have searched for the non-profit sections, and I spoke to the IRS too. I asked about the organization, and they told me that there is no such non-profit organization. I spoke to the state too, and I saw that there is a profit stated as non-profit. Now, I'd like to just get some confirmation, as Jim Miller was saying. Perhaps maybe y'all can help me to confirm that. Did I hear wrong that, or did I hear right, I would say right, that the Jeep Posse does not file federal tax? Can you help
That's
me
what
to
I
confirm?
Heard too.
Sorry?
I understand that to be true, yes.
So it's not filing then? No filing in taxes. Because under the federal, worldwide in revenues, I mean, under IRS revenues tax, say that all revenue worldwide has to file. Whether it's profit or losses, it has to file. As you say in the scholarship, you still have to file. 1099-T. I do not know whether you have filed or not, because at present now I have been asking for documentation. Jeep Posse has not complied at all. Under the IRS, they have to comply to give the forms as I requested. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. House. Mr. Beach?
Yes, sir. Your name's working good.
I'll alert the media.
I want to know if the paper from Reno is here, because I like to get my name and picture in the Reno paper. Somebody left this here. My name's Dale Beach. I'm a community activist. And it's hard to look at you, Bill, because you need a haircut, okay? That's why she's looking out there. I don't know many in the Jeep Posse. I know one Jeep Posse guy. He's a lifer here, Richard Backus, and I always admire him for his work ethic. And I think he's always done a hell of a job for the county, not so much for other people. But the thing that bothers me and looks slimy to me is this tower, this sharing of the wealth from the tower. Now, if you guys could come down and build a tower on my backyard, I'd sure love to have half of that money. And that's what stinks to the people out here, and that's what's going to keep stinking, is that money there. If they want to go have picnics and make money and ask for donations from Ms. Cohen, Mrs. Cohen, that's fine. I might even donate myself. Occasionally I do write a check. And I just think that mess with that tower needs to be solved up in the open. And I'm going to elbow all these people back. And when there's a complaint signed to IRS, the old Beach is going to have your name on the bottom of it.
Thank you, Mr. Beach. Ms. Kennedy?
I'm Cynthia Kennedy, Virginia City Highlands, lived here since 1987. I think things have gotten a bit confusing and divisive here in the room, because I don't think it was ever anyone's intent to put down the activities of the Jeep Posse. I was an endurance rider back when I lived in California, and the Virginia City 100 was known far and wide through the endurance community as one of the premier endurance riding events in the country. And I was so proud when I moved here to go to the Divide and see the camp, the horses, the people, and the beautiful event that was put on there, courtesy of the Jeep Posse. I don't think anyone would deny their role in this community and how much they have contributed. But there are many groups in this community that contribute time, money, donations, and who also help preserve historic buildings. I think what we just need to see here are the actual documents, the actual leases, the actual agreements, and be able to sit down and go through these things and really find out what is the truth, what were the actual agreements, and what should be fair. I've been to budget meetings here and seen nonprofit groups come forward and ask for funding, all of them deserving of funding, but the county not able to fund them all. It's not fiscally possible. So in light of that, I would just like to see fairness, and I'd like to see the actual documents. And I think this could all be settled in that fashion, rather than the Jeep Posse feeling like all of their efforts are being put down. They're not. They're not at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kennedy. Mr. Phillips, you had your hand up, Mark. Did you forget?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Speaking to item number 15, this is discussion before possible action today. A request to cease all funding to Jeep Posse, Story County Jeep Posse. First of all, it was about this time last year I started a search for public record requests with Secretary of State's office in regards to the status of the Story County Jeep Posse as a not-for-profit corporation. And it took weeks. And when you're contacting a state office and asking for documents that are supposed to be there and are not there, it gets a little touchy. You know, the Secretary of State's office didn't give up the information very easy, that the documents that were required to be at the Secretary of State's office from the Jeep Posse were not there. Matter of fact, I was given written notice that in an attempt for the Story County Jeep Posse to become current in their status, their application had been returned. It's a little confusing when you go on the website. Sure, Jeep Posse files an annual list, and matter of fact, their annual list is due at the end of this month. So, as commissioners, one thing you could do, order our district attorney to get this into the first district court next month before the election. A judge is truly the only one that can decide whether all the paperwork is in order. And you know what? If this isn't taken care of by the commissioners, Attorney General's office, by statute, has the authority to come up here and order to look at the books. So, I mean, if this isn't taken care of, you look at your DA, you order him to have a show cause hearing next month and settle this in court, or it'll be the Attorney General's office who will do their investigation. Mr. Hugh Gallagher is a director, is responsible for this lack of compliance with statute, and y'all gave me that funny look. But I'm saying that First District Court judge is the only one that can
thank
settle
you.
This.
Thank you, Mr.
And you,
you've exhausted your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Thompson.
Fritz. Oh, that's right. You're into the mister.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. District Attorney, Mr. County Manager, my name is Chris Thompson. I'm the Transaction Coordinator at TRI. I'd like to ask the Commission to favorably consider voting yes on the request by Mr. Miller. It seems that this organization has been around 50 years. It seems undisputed that on the whole, they are a good corporate citizen. I haven't heard of any other organization that supports community events to the extent that this one does. And that's, you know, one aspect. But to me, the most positive aspect of this, of continuing some sort of funding, is this. At TRI, we have 6,000 workers at this point in time. We have 14 million square feet of industrial space, factories, manufacturing plants, warehouses. The landmass is 100,000 acres, which is the size of Rhode Island. A lot of emergencies can go on with that kind of working base and that kind of landmass. This group is highly qualified, as mentioned, and they are, you know, civic emergencies always seem to come up at the least expected time in the least expected manner. And to have an insurance policy out there with a volunteer group, a Minuteman group ready to call up, seems like a pretty good investment for this kind of money. And Mr. Miller's suggestion that the district attorney draw up a lease seems to be a good way maybe to resolve at least some of the concerns of the concerned citizens. And the DA, being the miracle worker that he is, perhaps he can draw a lease that makes everyone happier, satisfies everybody on this point. But I would ask that the committee or commission favorably consider voting yes on Mr. Miller's proposal. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Thompson. Judy already spoke. I'm sorry. Who's next?
I have some.
Mr. Whitten.
Okay. For the record, I'm Pat Whitten, Story County Manager, but I also am a very proud member of the G Posse since 1994. I'd like to clarify two things real quick and then briefly read into the record three letters, two from non-posse members and one from a posse member that couldn't be here today. I'm perplexed a little bit about Ms. Dean's reference to spending $10,000 to an organization, myself included, that in essence is comprised of 30 people. And then she referenced this because of the senior center here in Virginia City. I'm not questioning the senior city's results or dedication or value to the members of our communities, especially the older ones, like myself. But we provide that organization, for all perspective, $130,000 in staff and program monies and another $6,000 currently for building. So there's $136,000 going to the organization that Ms. Dean says she sees struggling. What the G Posse is involved with, sans a current lease that I agree with Sheriff Miller on getting a new one drafted as a good fix. We have other leased properties that have similar but different facilities. We've got the Fire Museum. The Fire Museum is on county property. We allow them to lease out to the gunfighters each year for $500 a month during season as a source of revenue for them. Really no difference than the G Posse. And if you really look at St. Mary's, another county property, they again are essentially leasing their rooms by the night and by the week for their programs. So there really is nothing that much tangibly different with this type of operation. And now I have to read into the record three letters that I received, one personally and two via email. First email is from Ron Gallagher. Good afternoon. As an old hot water plug who has been indirectly and on a few occasions directly involved with the Story County Jeep Posse for a half a century, I have been following the most recent discussions relative to that dedicated group with great interest. I could go on at great length about rescues, recoveries, good deeds, donations to the Comstock, et cetera, but instead let the following serve as a substitute for those pages of complimentary rhetoric, and I hope concretely show the esteem and respect that I have for this marvelous group. When Judy and I prowl around the mountains of Virginia City together, Jumbo, Five Mile Reservoir, the Flowery, Twin Peaks, the Quarry, the Sutro Air Shafts, Chalk Hills, she has been given a simple set of instructions. If anything happens where my functioning capabilities are restricted, call 911, if possible, and call the GPOC. If I happen to take off by myself to any location noted above or to countless ones not named, but well known to my mucker friends, should I not return in a timely manner, her instructions are to call the appropriate emergency entities and call the GPOC. Should anything happen to my family or friends on the dirt roads of the Comstock, I will call the GPOC. I would be happy to discuss my long-time experiences and long-time opinion of the Story County GPOC with anyone at any time, Ron Gallagher. And then a letter handed to me this morning, to whom it may concern, the GPOC has provided turkeys, hams, chickens for the 7 years I've worked here. This food has been donated for Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. This food has fed 490 people. Thank you, GPOC. Sincerely, Pam Trabert, Food Pantry Manager, Community Chest, Inc. In an email I received late last week, the header to the email says, "Hi, Pat, I will not be able to attend the next commission meeting. I would like to submit the following letter to be read into the minutes. I will have a hard copy of my letter when I return if needed. April 10th, Story County Board of Commissioners. Dear Commissioners, as a resident of Story County and Virginia City for most of my 75 years, I am writing to strongly encourage the Story County Board of Commissioners to continue the existing revenue funding to the Story County GPOC from the shared rent of the cell tower, which is located on the property leased by the Story County GPOC. I have been a member of the GPOC for over 45 years, and I am very proud of the numerous services we provide this county and special events which have directly brought income into the county. Through fundraising and these various special events, the GPOC has been able to give back to the Story community in the form of contributions to school activities, student scholarships, and donations to folks in need. The Story County citizens have always supported each other through community involvement, and the GPOC will continue its volunteer and financial support as well. Respectfully submitted via email, William Bill Clark, 66 South F Street." That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Haymore, you had something?
Commissioners, my name is Dean Haymore. I'm the Story County Community Development Director. I am the one that the county came to when we had a meeting, knowing that we need cell service up here to provide for the tourists, to provide for emergency services, to provide for the community and the residents. I was the one that went out and tried to find some sites. The first site we were hoping to put the cell tower was on Silver Street behind Edith Palmer's on Scott Joelcover's land. I'm the one that went to the companies and begged them to bring cell service to Story County. I'm the one that went to the GPOC and asked the GPOC if we could utilize some of that land to put the cell towers up. I am the one that considered with the GPOC and county management and county commissioners that there might be some revenue sharing participated for their good works to help. I am not the one that drafted the documents, but I am the one that worked with every cell tower, permitted them, worked with the GPOC, sat with their president, and looked at the location that would work for both the cell companies and the GPOC. I have been doing this for Story County for 27 years, trying to provide quality of life, protection, companies, jobs. And I am the one that was very adamant that that cell tower becomes a flagpole for the great state of United States. I'm the one that just this Thursday, where they want to expand that cell tower to put more carriers up there, demanded that they don't put a box on the top of that, that they come back with a rendering to slender it down so it looks like a flagpole. So I'm the one that started this with management, prior county commissioners, GPOC, and started that. We would have had that up on unimproved Silver Street, looking at a tower, looking at Mount Davison, and I felt that was not the right location. Plus, that location that we put the cell tower, if people do not know, we talked Nextel to bring in a cow, and we transferred waves from McClellan Peak to what a cow is. It's a temporary cell tower to get cell service up immediately for this community. And we did that while we went through all of the legal and the agreements that we did with those cell companies. And that cow stayed in place. They said they would give it to us for 3 months, stayed in place for over a year to provide cell service for this community. So, yes, I do believe there needs to be some clarification, documentation, correction and stuff, but I am the one that started all of this. And I will take any and all blame or any questions because I started with our fire department, our public works, our county management, our tourism, knowing that we needed cell service in this community for emergency services. We even wrote letters. We even had to make guarantees that the county would sign up and provide some cell service with Nextel to get this going. Any questions, commissioners? Thank you.
If I may, so in essence, you went out and solicited cell tower, and when you got back here, you needed to find a location, proper location, to erect the cell towers, and you approached county government and the Jeep Posse, and you negotiated a settlement agreement of some type with a sharing. Is that correct?
First, yes. We had to do studies of service where a cell tower would be with the cell company. We went out to three different cell companies. We finally got Nextel to come. I've been working with Sprint, Horizon. We got to come later. We got Horizon to come. And then the location, talking with management, I went to the president of the Jeep Posse and asked if we could put a cell tower there. We actually went up there, looked at the land. They said, this is where we will let you go ahead and put the cell tower at. And then through management, we made the agreements with the cell company, and that revenue sharing came up. And that's how that revenue share.
Otherwise, would the Jeep Posse have been entitled to 100% of the revenue for the tower?
If they worked directly with the cell towers, yes. And I have done that with numerous towers throughout the county. I've taken them to people and said, hey, this is probably the only location that you can have one. I can tell you there's one at Eagle Pitcher. There is one at Tri. There is one down at Painted Rock. And we have three or four up in McClellan Peak.
So in other words, the Jeep Posse agreed to give up part of their entitlement revenue stream to the county in the sharing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I think that as usual, Dean, you've broken a hell of a good deal in this particular instance. I certainly think it's better, you know, half of something is better than nothing from nothing. You know, at least we're getting something back of it. I think it was an outstanding
The main purpose is we'll provide cell service for emergency service, tourism, and the taxpayers of Story County. And the same thing is I am the one that went, and Austin's working with them now, to get one out in the Highlands. We're working with that user to provide cell service for that community, too.
Does Scott Jolcover still speak to you after you stole that tower away from him?
Yeah, he does. We'll never do it. Any other questions? I'm sorry for taking your time.
Thank you, Mr. Haymore.
And Mr. Gilman, I think you bring up a great point and something Mr. Beach spoke to. You know, he'd love for somebody to put a cell tower down on his property and take half the rent. The gentleman out in the Highlands, that is all on private property, so he gets 100% of the rent. So as you so well point out, yeah, I'll try to get you a cell tower company.
Just to clarify, I also worked with the GID, Canyon GID in Rainbow Bend, and got their cell tower down there too. I'm the one that brought those.
Okay, who else would like to come up and make public comment? Okay, comments from the board.
I
I've listened to all of the comments this morning. I've read all of the documents that I've had been privileged to look at. It would seem to me that the only thing that the county has to do with the Jeep Posse is this agreement over the cell tower, which I think is a perfectly legal arrangement, and a very handy arrangement. Beyond that, the Jeep Posse is a private entity. They can do whatever they want to do. We don't have any jurisdiction to tell a private organization or business how to run their internal business. It seems to me that they're not a county entity. So I think a lot of the concerns that were expressed are probably invalid because we just don't have jurisdiction over much of that. Those are my comments.
Thank you. Mr. Gilman.
I've been reflecting on a lot of this as we have received information from everybody. You know, it's troubling to me because as I've sat here over the last year and months, is that there seems to be this driven desire to revisit everything this little community has done for the last 50 years and find fault and point fingers, talk about putting people in jail, and losing the respect of the history of the community that we are. And I believe that with all my heart. I came to Nevada in 1985. I'm a newcomer. I'm a newcomer, and I came here in 1985. And I'm sitting here in this room with folks that have been in this community for two and three and four generations, for Christ's sake. And when I arrived here in Story County, you all were struggling with a budget that barely made $4 million. You didn't have enough money to run your schools. You didn't have enough resources to put public facilities and programs together. But what you did have was a community spirit. You had families that had been here, like the Hesses, for generations, giving to all of us, building the community to the best way that they could based upon the money that they had to work with and the revenues that they had to work with and the challenges that they had to work with. And you know, the thing that troubles me as I sit here, and hindsight is always 20/20, you guys. You know, I can look back over my life and I wish I'd have done this or done that or made this decision. Hindsight, for Christ's sakes, is always 20/20. But this little community had to deal with what they had to work with at the time. And so are all the documents and records in place? Probably not. Matter of fact, we've seen over the years that they're not. And so we've been restructuring. We've been asked as a commission to look at things. Well, you got to fix this because they screwed this up royally. No, they didn't. They did the best they could with the revenues and the resources and the people they had at hand. And they graciously gave up their families and their times. And so the Jeep Posse, for Christ's sakes, 50 years ago, you know, go back into this little community. Most of us weren't here 50 years ago. And they have been offering services to all of us. I've given to the Jeep Posse. I'm not a member of the Posse, never have been. But I'm proud they're here, and there are a lot of folks that could say thank you for the efforts they put in here. Nevada, I was blessed when I got here because it's a handshake place. I can literally do business. And when I got here in 1985, I did land deals and real estate deals on that hand with a right-hand handshake, and everybody lived up to the code. And I believe that we have to respect our history. And I think to sit here and to find fault with things that were done 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years ago that are still in place today is doing a disservice and a terrible disrespect to the people that have given and lived and got us to where we are today. There is no way in the world
as your commissioner, that I would be prepared to find fault with this group. I absolutely would not go to bat against them. I believe they've been a strong and loyal force in your community, and they don't take a lot of credit for a lot of those things. So I would be remiss in my heart to vote that we should penalize them, or should we should disrespect the basis that they all brought to Story County and to Virginia City. I think we have to remember our history, and I'm going to, and I'm going to support this little group, and I think a lot of them. Yep. And that's where I stand on this issue today.
You've all done well. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I got. I too am disturbed by the hostility, the animosity this brought forward towards this volunteer community organization, the Jeep Posse. They organized over 50 years ago, so they were out helping people even before I entered grade school. I'm a little bit younger than you guys. There's been some concerns about members of the Jeep Posse being related. We live in a county of 4,000 people. When the Jeep Posse was organized, it was barely over 500 people, and that was between Virginia City and Gold Hill, because there was Rainbow Bend hasn't been built yet. No one lived in the Highlands, because there was no Highlands. It was Chalk Hills. Down where it was called Mark Twain Estates now, there was only a couple of houses down there. So the organization was just locally grown individuals trying to help out the community, as well was the Volunteer Fire Department, which I was a proud member of for 22 years. And we worked with the Jeep Posse as well. So growing up here, I thought I knew the backcountry of Story County pretty well until Dean took me on a road trip last year. And as small as Story County is, it's very vast. And the knowledge that these gentlemen have is of this area, Story County and the area, is immeasurable. I know that if I were to be in the backcountry and be injured or immobilized somehow, these are the guys I want to be called to come look for me. You got one guy still on the roll call there, charter member from 50 years ago. So that shows the dedication and the perseverance that we get out of our community. And so I'm in step with these other two commissioners here. And so I would call for the pleasure of the board.
I have a motion. Adverse action be taken against the Jeep Posse, and that the officers of the Jeep Posse get with county staff, primarily the county manager and the district attorney, review whatever documents are available and execute those that we deem necessary to continue. And to the Jeep Posse, I say, live long and prosper.
I have a motion. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Taking the action on this, and to direct staff to meet with Jeep Posse members and district attorney, try to come up with a consensus of how to remedy whatever paperwork inadequacies we might currently have.
Mr. Chairman, if I could very quickly make an observation. One of the things I hope to get accomplished before I leave is to standardize the relationships we have with these nonprofits, St. Mary's, the Fourth Ward School. Right now, Piper's is being operated by the school district. County Manager Whitten mentioned the fireplace, but I've had occasion to look at some of the leases, and not specifically the Jeep Posse, but they probably need to be standardized and then put on a regular schedule of renewal. And it's something I'd planned on doing before this all arose. if I don't get caught up in day-to-day things that I get caught up in, I'd like to...
You mean like real work?
Yeah, I'd like to try to do that before I leave in 266 or 67 days. So it's one of the things I'd like to get done is get all our lease agreements standardized with the people that are occupying county properties. And the Jeep Posse isn't the only one that's got a problem in the sense that I think even St. Mary's, we only talk about leasing in the building. We don't talk about the land. We don't describe the land. And that came up in another situation that I was involved in. And that made me think at the time, and I think I talked to Pat about it, and I said, what agreements do I think the Fourth Ward school lease agreement's coming up? So all of these things, I want to try to standardize them, and I'll include working on the Jeep Posse when I do that.
And actually, I stand corrected. That was an old lease on a billboard at the time Fourth Ward had it, so their lease is not currently coming up, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, and that's another thing that Commissioner Gilman alluded to, is that they didn't always do things as perfectly as we would like, especially me from a lawyer's standpoint, in the past. And I've tried in the 4 years I'll spend up here to correct as much as I can that wasn't done correctly before. And Ms. Langer will have the task of doing it after I leave. And I'm pretty sure that after she leaves, whoever follows her will have the same task. And I don't know how many years it took 150 years to get where we're at now. Hopefully it won't take that many years.
Okay. I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second yet?
You do. I have a second.
It's been moved and seconded to not cease funding for the Jeep Posse and conduct staff to meet with the posse members and the district attorney, formalize whatever's necessary there. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any and all opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, we're going to take a 10-minute recess here.